Hey there, welcome to the Mental Refuge Podcast. Here we talk all things mental health and Christianity. I am your host, Angela McDonald. I run my website, The Mental Refuge, where I talk about my own personal struggles, mental illness, while also being a Christian and a mom of two. And I help others by giving tips and tricks on what has helped me. To be clear, this is my story. I personally live with bipolar disorder and live with anxiety, so I know what it's like to go through the trenches of life and to feel alone. My goal is to bring you weekly tips and education on how to thrive with your mental health while giving you real examples from my own life and to also provide you with a much-needed dose of Jesus. I hope you stick around and stay a while. Welcome, guys, to episode number 6 of the Mental Refuge Podcast. I'm so excited about this week's episode. We're going to be talking about overthinking versus catastrophic anxiety. If you're watching me on YouTube, you will see that I'm kind of bumming it today. Got no makeup on, sunglasses. I literally just got out of bed, took my dog out, ran some errands, which basically means picked up a McDonald's iced coffee. That's my extent of running errands for this morning. So I came back and I'm ready to record. So let's kick things off with what is making me happy right now. I want to do that every single episode just to encourage each other to always look for the happiness in every single day life. There is always something to be happy for. I truly do believe that. Even if our circumstances are deep down in the pit and we don't see any way out, there is always one little glimpse of hope that we can cling on to. Always, always, always. Every single person has one thing to cling to, even if that means the sun is shining or maybe the snow is falling where you are. Whatever it is, whatever you love, there's always something to be happy for. And I really think that we should be thankful for those things. So what is making me happy right now? Currently, it is spring break for my kids while I'm recording this, and I am loving it because we now live in a neighborhood. I have never lived in a neighborhood before in my entire life, if other than calling like apartments neighborhoods, but I don't really consider that. And so since we've never lived in a neighborhood, there's never been anywhere for my kids to ride their bikes. There's never been family walks to go on. You know, in the past when I wanted to exercise, I have physically gone to the gym to do that. And I haven't been to the gym in months now because I'm getting outside. Like I said, it is spring break. And I love that since it's getting darker later and later in the evening that we are able to take bike rides. My kids are riding their bikes while I'm walking behind them. And let me tell you, they are fast. They are so fast going down these neighborhood roads that I'm trying my best to keep up with them. Also, I'm so happy that they have friends who are in the neighborhood, friends that we have known from church for a long, long time, friends from school, just from various places. So I'm so thankful that we have had a friend come over to our house and play this week during spring break. We've had our daughter go over to a neighbor's house to go and play with her daughter. It has just been such a blessing for me especially. I'm just so forever, forever, forever thankful for this home and for all the hard work that it took to get here. I know I feel like this is also new to me and I'm late to the game because most people are like, it's just a neighborhood, Angela. Like it's not that big of a deal. But to me, it is such a big deal. And I'm just so thankful for that. So something that I want to talk about this episode is about overthinking, but also catastrophic anxiety, which we're going to cover in a little bit. So a little fun fact about me, my mind never shuts up. I constantly have a thought in my head. So the other day, my husband just said something about the window, and the words "to the window" came up. And in my head, I was like, "to the window, to the wall." Or my daughter said something, I don't even know what it was related to. And all of a sudden, I started singing Aladdin. I can show you the world. And my brain does not stop. My brain is always either singing a song, telling a story. It's always, always, always moving in super speed, fast forward motion. Unless, since I have bipolar disorder, unless I'm in a depressive episode, then my mind kind of goes blank and I don't think of anything. It is literally just like blank. And that is a strange feeling to me. And that's those are those times where I just lay down in bed and I zone out. But for today, we're going to talk about overthinking and also catastrophic anxiety. So with overthinking, this is probably stuff that you might do in your everyday life. A lot of common overthinking or anxiety, if you will, even, is a lot of people have anxiety when it comes to phone calls. So how many of you are like that? Especially if you are calling something mundane, such as calling in a pizza order. You're like, nope, I'm just going to skip that restaurant. I'm not going to go order pizza. I'm going to go somewhere where I can do it online. Because you might even practice in your head. You might even write out a script of what you're going to say to the person taking your order for your dinner that night. That is very common. That actually happens a lot. If you have to call a doctor's office and make an appointment, you might write out a script of what you're going to say. Something like that can be overthinking. But let's go the next step and talk about things that are going on in my life right now, just to give you guys some real life examples. So like I said, this week is spring break. The other day we went to a trip to a museum with my kids and a couple of their friends. And this museum was an hour and 45 minutes away. So for about 5 days, 5-6 days leading up to it, I overthought it big time. Now, mind you, this is on an overnight trip. There was nothing to pack for. There was really nothing to plan other than what time we're going to pick up our kids' friends and what time are we going to drop them off. That was really the only planning that we really needed to do. But I overthought, what time are we going to leave? What time are we going to get to the museum? Will the parking deck be full? Because where we're going, it's kind of chaotic parking and I never know where I'm going. And I'm not even driving. What time will we get back? Do we have Cub Scouts that night? If so, then we need to be back by 6:30. There were so many thoughts. And then trying to text the other two moms, our kids' friends' moms, about the plan, it shouldn't have been that big of a deal. It really shouldn't. But in my mind, I just overthought it. And even when we were there, it was like, okay, well, we're going to go to this restaurant that's kind of attached to the museum. But what if the kids don't eat? This is the first time I've ever taken our kids' friends anywhere. And so I was like, well, what if they don't like the lunch that we picked out? And all these thoughts, it was just overthinking that didn't need to be done. It should have been a relaxing time. And it was once we got there. But the 5 or 6 days leading up to it was filled with overthinking. And like I said, this wasn't even an overnight trip. So even bigger, hopefully we are planning to go on a trip to Universal in Orlando later this year. And this will be months away. And I am way overthinking everything about it, the cost of everything. And we even got a quote from one of those travel agents who does everything for us. And I still can't stop thinking about it because we have three options. Okay, one, we can stay for $1,800 and that includes water slide and two different pools and a lazy river. There's another one for $2,200. There's a third option, it's $4,000, but it comes with fast passes for all 4 days with that we would be there. So it actually ends up being cheaper than the other two options. That hotel is also just nicer. And it even has this sandy beach access type area and has a hot tub. But then I think, well, we won't even really be able to enjoy that portion in full because we have two kids. And when we go, they're going to be 10 and 8 at that time. And we can't just leave them in the room by themselves while we go out to the hot tub or to the sandy beach area and have a relaxing time, my husband and myself. And then I think about, you know, is the fast pass really worth it? Or are we going to get our money's worth out of it? And the transportation of it all. Do we fly? Do we drive? I don't even like driving 3 hours. That's about my limit. So with the bathroom breaks and everything, this is going to take like a 12 or 13 hour trip. How am I going to divide up the time? I've never been on a road trip to Florida before, like with me driving. My mind won't shut off about it. And this is supposed to be a relaxing, fun family trip. And my mind, and it's months away, and my mind is just going in overdrive about it. Another thing that I'm overthinking lately is budgeting. This is an everyday real life example that you guys probably are familiar with. My husband might be starting a new job coming up. I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruze, George Campbell. I love especially Rachel and George, their podcast, The what is it called? Smart Money Happy Hour. I love that podcast. We are a big fan of cash envelopes. I haven't done it in many, many, many years. But one night, about a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, I spent about 2 hours redoing our budget. I spent about 2 hours at night after the kids were in bed, went to the computer, went on Excel, completely redid our budget with the projected pay that my husband will get if he were to start this new job, spreadsheet with all the things. Okay, if we go back to cash envelopes, maybe we will actually be able to save money more than we ever have and not just spend it frivolously. We'll just have it there in cash. I didn't go to bed until after midnight because I was just so focused on that. And at the time, my husband, even lovingly, he was like, you got to go to bed. And then the next day, he was like, you're focusing on this way too much. And in my mind, I was like, I'm really not. Like, I slept fine that night. I didn't spend like 4 or 5 hours on it. I spent about 2. You know, in my head, I was trying to justify it. But looking back, I was like, yeah, 2 hours is probably a long time to be going over a budget that we don't even know exactly to the penny what paychecks would look like. But it was a little excessive how much time I spent on that. And because of that, I guess, Facebook is now feeding in my algorithm cash envelopes because I have obviously been searching for it, things like that. So when I see all these girls cash stuffing envelopes, you know, payday, you know, looking at these portfolios, the envelopes themselves, you can get them custom made on Etsy. So there was about three nights in a row where I would spend 1 to 2 hours at night scrolling on Instagram, and I would just watch the girls cash stuff their cash envelopes, how they budget, things like that. Stuff that I know how to do, stuff that I have done off and on very randomly for about 15 years now. I could have been doing something way more productive in that time, but I didn't. Instead, I went on Amazon, went on Etsy, looked for the absolute perfect cash envelope binder and envelopes, all that stuff. And I searched for 2 or 3 nights before I added it to my cart. And at what cost? It was a $9 binder and a $6 cash expense tracker thingy. It's not like I was spending 2 days mulling over the details and about to drop $150 on a leather binder. Like, no, it was $15, you guys. I could very well just return it if I don't like it or if I end up not using it like I think I would. But instead, I overthought it. I kind of obsessed about it for those 2 or 3 nights. And my last example is when somebody responds to a text with a thumbs up. I hate that so much, guys. I hate it. In the past, I have actually teared up when I have sent a text out and somebody replies with a thumbs up. I actually thought that person was tired of me, wanted nothing to do with me. It was during a depressive episode, so I was already really, really down. I know that that's not true. That's not how that person feels about me. That is exactly how I felt. And that is one of those things when you get a reply of just a thumbs up, you're probably going to overthink it about what did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? You know, do they not like me? Am I ever going to hear from them again? We just have these overthinking thoughts, which leads me to catastrophic anxiety. Oh boy. So in case you've never heard of it before, because I didn't until about a few years ago when one of my past therapists told me that I have catastrophic thinking or catastrophic anxiety. The official definition is it is a cognitive distortion that occurs when people have a hard time weighing the likelihood of certain outcomes and believe that terrible or catastrophic outcomes, which are highly unlikely, become in your mind extremely likely. So basically, your brain is constantly telling you that the worst case scenario will always happen no matter what. Even if it is highly unlikely to happen, your brain is telling you that it will. So some examples. If you are driving, this is a big one for me. I don't just think I'm going to have a little fender bender. Like, I feel like everybody has normal everyday anxiety with driving. You're like, oh, you might be a little bit tense behind the wheel. You might be a little bit anxious. You might be extra cautious, which is a good thing because you want to keep yourself safe. But catastrophic thinking or catastrophic anxiety would be, I'm not lucky enough just to get into a fender bender. If I get into an accident, my car is going to clip another car. I'm going to roll over 7 times. My seatbelt's going to get stuck. I won't be able to get out. That is extreme thinking. That is extreme. The chances of that happening are very, very slim. But that is something that my mind goes to. And that is why it is hard for me to drive those long distances on a highway, because especially with bridges and stuff, is because I think worst case scenario at all times. And let me tell you, I've never actually witnessed. I know that they happen. I know friends that it's happened to, but I've never witnessed with my own eyes a car doing that, flipping over 7 times, going over a bridge, having their seatbelt get stuck. I've never seen that happen in real life. But because I know that it is possible, my mind automatically goes there. That is catastrophic. That is soul-crushing anxiety right there. Another driving example, not as extreme, but still catastrophic thinking under that category. My mom actually came over for a visit a couple of months ago, and she had this thought. She takes all sorts of back roads on the way home instead of driving through those main highways because she hates driving through there, just like I do. But when she left with plenty of time because she said, I don't want to drive on those back roads when it's dark because what if I get a flat tire? And those back roads, it's in the middle of nowhere. So probably won't have cell phone service. And then what would I do? She said this to me out loud. Her thoughts went on and on based on a fear of being abandoned and alone with no one to help. Now, mind you, there is no reality to this fear. She has been driving these roads for about 20 years coming up this fall, and she has never once broken down on the side of the road. She has never once lost cell phone service while on the road. But that is extreme thinking. It is that I am going to be in danger if I don't take these precautions. So her precaution was, I want to leave when it's daytime, before it gets dark. That way I won't be abandoned alone at dark with no one to help me. Some people would go on even further, just like with my car accident example. You're not just going to get into a car accident. You're going to go big, right? So some people might take it even further. Some people might say, if my car breaks down at night and I lose cell phone service, then I'm going to have to walk up to a stranger's door and ask to use their phone. But people don't like answering their door these days. And what if they're in bed? And what if they're mad that I woke them up? And people protect themselves these days. You know, if somebody wanted to come up to my house, I might be leery, especially if it's dark, of answering that door. So what if somebody pulls out something on me? What if they see that I'm alone and they try to rob me? People have these types of thoughts when they go through catastrophic anxiety. It is an extreme way of thinking. So are you with me here? And something not so extreme, but still categorized under catastrophic, I believe. If you were to go to McDonald's in the morning, just like I went this morning, I got my iced coffee. What if they get your order wrong? They charged you too much money. They didn't take your coupon from the app. Your biscuit was cold. You asked for vanilla iced coffee and instead they gave you caramel. It was slow service. Some people might just get a little bit ticked off at that. Some people have that extreme thinking. They might think, well, there goes my day. Here's another thing that isn't working for me. And the day just started. Nothing's going my way. My whole day is ruined. A whole lot of people feel that way. So even if you can't relate to these scenarios, you're like, well, I'm not scared of driving because, you know, these are just so extreme. My mind isn't that bad. My anxiety isn't that bad. Think about this. Do you ever say the word never? Do you ever say to yourself, I will never get married. I will never be in a long-term relationship. I will never be able to have kids. No one will ever love me. I will never be able to graduate and get that degree. I will never be successful. I've had this dream of opening a boutique and I'm going to fail. I might as well not even try because it's going to fail. I will never be successful. I will never be able to move out of this apartment and into my own home because I will never be able to afford it. I will never be able to have a career. I will always be stuck at this job. I will always be stuck at this desk job as an assistant. I will always be stuck at this job as a house cleaner. I will never be able to have that career that I've always wanted. So how many of you have ever had these never type of thoughts? That is catastrophic thinking. So the consequences of having catastrophic thinking, do you think it's healthy to think like this? No, it is so unhealthy. But it's not like we have these thoughts and we just move on with our day. These type of thoughts can really mess you up in the long run. And here's how. When we have this extreme way of thinking, it actually increases our normal anxiety because this way of thinking forces our brain to think of the worst case scenario at all times. And when you do that long enough, you will have really, really, really bad everyday anxiety, which can lead you to have full-blown panic attacks that you normally might not have. Having catastrophic anxiety also invites depression. There's actually science behind it. When we think that our lives are hopeless and will never be good, then our brains actually start to put out less serotonin and dopamine, the happiness and pleasure motivation chemicals in our brain, and we have less of those things, we become more and more depressed. So who wants to be depressed? I really don't. Nobody ever wants to make themselves depressed. So we can actually fight off our depression by not having this extreme thinking when it comes to our anxiety. So I'm talking about these things and you might be thinking to yourself, you're like, oh great, here's another thing for me to work on. I'm such an idiot. Why do I do this to myself? My brain is broken. Also, catastrophic thinking. Your brains are not broken. So take a deep breath. We just need to learn some tools on how to cope with it so we don't have this type of extreme way of thinking anymore. We need to change our thought patterns, and it's going to take a lot of work. But you know what? You can do hard things. I know some of the stuff that you have overcome. Some of you have overcome cancer. Some of you have overcome abuse or drug and alcohol use. Some of you are still in the midst of depression or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, whatever it is, and you are climbing your way out of that pit trying to do better for yourself. You are in charge of your own brain. I want to remind you of that. Yes, depression is absolutely real. Anxiety is real. Catastrophic anxiety is real. All mental illnesses are real, but we are in charge of our own brain. And we can change our thought patterns to become healthy instead of staying unhealthy. So to wrap this up for this episode, we talked about overthinking and catastrophic anxiety and how it can actually mess up our lives and cause depression to be even worse. I want you to still tune in next week because we're going to be talking about why we have these thoughts. And we're going to learn a lot of tips on how to overcome our catastrophic thinking. I can't wait for you to tune into next week's episode. If you will, if you are listening to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you may be, please leave a review of this podcast. It really helps spread the word to others and lets others know that this even exists. And if you are on YouTube, please comment, subscribe, like, do all of the things so that we can spread the word about the mental refuge and how we can help each other overcome our mental illness and just thrive in our everyday life. I'll talk to you next week.